space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion. nothing happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures
of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Thank you. thinking is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Buddy, you're listening to Shazia's Mad Science. How's it going out there? We're not broadcasting on No Borders this morning. Something technical difficulties, but the podcast will be available for anybody out there. So, what crazy stuff do I got on my mind today? Today's show, Mind Control Madness, is brought to you by whomever is jacking with my brain. Now, I tell you, I've heard every conspiracy theory under the sun. I've heard every single doomsday prophecy. I've heard it all. There's nothing that you could say that would even remotely surprise me, from aliens to alternate dimensions and this and that and everything under the sun. I went so deep down the rabbit hole that it's just mind-blowing. I mean, there's just so many things, so much information to absorb that it begins to overwhelm a person and puts you on information overload. And that's recently come to my attention that my Mad Science show isn't necessarily leaning towards science because there's so many different things going on that it's just crazy. But here's the deal, folks. There's been some recent events that occurred here lately that have gotten me to question whether or not I even exist. Whether or not that I'm even me. You know, there's all kinds of conspiracies out there about the CIA and all the different mind control deals that's going on and all the craziness. With all the crap on the mainstream media and all the things on the internet, all the different ways by which people are telling you you're going to die or you're not going to die, there is a God or there isn't a God, and all this kind of crazy stuff, it is one of the biggest distractions that I've ever seen in the history of my life. So I'm sitting here thinking and contemplating day by day, trying to figure out what the heck is going on. I've even went as far as using sacred geometry to literally calculate the name of the Antichrist from my own personal beliefs. Now, whether you believe in God or not, that's neither here nor there in my mind, because in my reality, this is my reality. My reality is that I believe in divine intervention, and in, you know, to each his own. You believe what you want to believe. Recently, I've unsubscribed from some of the individuals out there on my YouTube's subscriptions because of just flat-out insulting, degrading deals against my beliefs. So, everything that I believe in is continuously being bombarded with all kinds of, you're not who you think you are, you're not what you believe, there is no God. The Bible's a total conspiracy, it's all a lie, everything that you've ever believed and thought and seen is a lie. Now out here in my Mad Science laboratory, I have seen it all. I've seen things out here that you would call me a bold-faced liar for telling you about. That's what we hope that Virtual Labs is going to accomplish, is that while I'm out here doing my Mad Science experiments, you'll see what I see. And if you don't see what I see, you can tell me, look, man, you've done went over the freaking deep end. You've lost your doggone mind. And then, we can take it from there. But in the meantime, my beliefs and my science is being tested to its ultimate limits. Everything from freaking global warming to Planet X to freaking, you name it, pole shifting. And I'm sitting here and I'm trying to grasp onto what I claim to be my reality. Meanwhile, I'm being bombarded with information. You can pick up a clock. If any of you listening out there right now have a clock in your house, the ones that say 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 12, there's 360 degrees in a circle. That 360 degrees can be divided up by 9 40 times. And you can find every single geometric shape within this deal. You can find correlations. Like if you put your finger on number 6 and you look straight up, the 6 minus 12 is 6. You go from 7. 7 to 4 is 12. 8 to 3 is 12. Or 7 to 5 is 12. 8 to 4 is 12. 9 to 3 is 12. 10 to 2 is 12. 11 to 1 is 12. And you end up over there at 12. You can do this frontwards, you can do it backwards, you can calculate everything under the doggone sun. You can take, use an old numerology scales from everything from Christian numerology to the occult numerology, and you can sit there and calculate your name out into a number. You can do this and that, and you can find times, dates, places, and everything that you can possibly imagine. And it all come from that one little circle. So, to me, as I'm sitting here, I'm calculating. I spent hours and hours and hours sitting there with the calculator, pushing numbers, and reading and checking this and checking that. Just when I think I've seen it all, then I hear about the brain worms. Now you got this microscopic brain worm that's in your brain, and he's taking control of your brain. Now, these are things that probably are really occurring. I have no freaking idea, but this is the thing, folks. It is distracting me from what it is that I wanted to do. Whether you're from the CIA or whatever, I don't know, man. You know, I don't know. I couldn't tell you honestly whether or not I'm even talking to you right now. I might be sitting somewhere up in a hospital in a coma. I might have already been dead, not even know it. But my reality, my God, is this just that. It's my God. Let me believe what it is that I want to believe. Stop bombarding me with everything under the freaking sun, because I got some science work to do, folks. I'm literally going off the deep end. I'm losing my mind. There's so many things to calculate, so many things to figure out, so many things going on in life that it is just mind-boggling. Now, I can sit down here and I can explain to you in graphic detail how the universe works. I can tell you everything from electrons, protons, neutrons. I can tell you about Einstein's energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. I know my science. I know I can get electricity out of dirt. I know I can get electricity out of the air. I know I can get thermal electricity. I know I can create high voltage of epic proportions. Using everything from Tesla's coil all the way to every doggone free energy device out there under the sun. There's so many ways by which you can tap into the energy that is all around us, including yourself. And right now, my mind's in an infinite loop of freaking total madness, because I don't even know whether the hell I'm even here. By the time it's all said and done, you could put an alien right in front of my face. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. You could do anything. I mean, you could turn freaking blue like a Smurf right in front of my eyes. Your eyes could bug out 75 feet and knock me off the cliff. And I wouldn't even be remotely surprised. I want to get back to my mad science. I want to get back to what it is that I've been trying to tell everybody all this freaking time. I want to get back to the ultimate goal of this deal is to put everybody off the power grid to be able to produce their own energy and not be under the thumb of the electric company. I've been bombarded with everything under the sun. I've been called everything but a white man. I've been freaking told this and told that for so damn long. I've been trolled. I've had my computers hacked. I've had my freaking radio shows blasted. I've had people doing things to me continuously. Every time I get on certain subjects, bam, there it goes again. And so half the time I don't even know whether or not you're even hearing what I'm saying. But I'm going to tell whoever it is out there jacking with my brain, I'm going to tell you this now. My reality is this. I'm on a mission of epic proportions, and I am not going to stop. No matter how hard you try to make me believe that there is no God, I'm going to believe in my God. No matter how hard you tell me that there is or isn't aliens or there is or isn't a doomsday, I'm going to keep on keeping on doing exactly what it is that I started off doing. And so all you CIA, DA, NSA, government officials, secret societies, Illuminati, whatever the hell it is out there, y'all can just flat out kiss my ass. I'm going to give the world free energy whether you like it or not. And that's my ultimate goal. I'm going to do it all the way up until I ain't able to even take a breath. We got some people on the line. Sorry, guys, but I'm just nuts. I've lost that's my right, freaking buddy. Mind.
That's all right. That's all right. I think you best explain it by an excerpt from Bill Hicks, where it goes, the young man today realized that all matter is merely energy condensed into a slow vibration, that we are all one consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. There is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we're the imagination of ourselves. Back to you, Shazam.
Well, you know, I kind of agree with that guy, because it could very well be that some folks believe that you create your own reality as you go. You know? Hey, I'm here just like everyone else to experience life, to try to do something good, and my heart is just too damn big, and every time I see things, I got a friend who passed away just day before yesterday, or yesterday, I can't even remember, I've lost track of time itself, but I can't get any answers whatsoever under the sun, whether it's true or not. And if it isn't true, it was a sick joke from someone out there, and could be very well possibly be a sick joke from a friend. And I'm hoping that's not the case, but on the other hand, I'm hoping my friend's not really dead. I would rather it be a sick joke and be pissed off at him as opposed to know he's gone, but I can't get no answers. Meanwhile, I'm being bombarded by all this different information that's coming out there. Oh, Shaziz is on freaking information overload. My brain is smoking. If you could put a thermal imager across my brain, you would see it look like a doggone nitrous torch or something. Ugh.
Yeah, no.
Let me submit this to you, bud. God made us in his image. Well, people think that's just eyes, nose, ears. You know, we got fingers and toes, and, you know, I think it goes much, much more in depth. Like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you got mind, body, and spirit. And also, he gave us dominion over all the beasts of the... of everything, and he's also said, if you speak to this mountain, and it will be moved with just the faith of a mustard seed. Okay, well, when you start putting it all together, and you actually get down to the part of Genesis 8, where Eve ate the apple, and then Adam ate the apple, and they said, if we let man stay in the garden, he will eat of the tree of life, which means he'll be immortal, and he will be like us. Well, let's put it down here. If God can speak the universe into existence and speak and make the light and the rain and all that, and he made us in his image, and he says that he'll be like us. Yes, I say God made us in his image. He gave us a lot more gift than people give him credit for.
Well, and I agree with you.
It's not just fingers, two legs, two arms, two toes. And yes, all of this is real.
And I agree with you. Nobody can...
I could get really in-depth and go into the Book of Enoch, but that's another show.
Nobody can prove or disprove the Big Bang Theory. Nobody can prove or disprove God. Nobody can prove or disprove evolution. You know, we've got observations, and these are what people are basing every opinion that they've got on. But a lot of the things just don't coincide with science, because there's a certain point in science that you get past what we know is reality. When you get into the quantum physics world and things just don't seem to make any sense. You know, there's only so far that we can see down, and there's only so far that we can see out. Nobody knows where the final end of the entire galaxy, megaverse, or universe, whatever you want to call it. Nobody knows all the answers that there is to know. All I know from my reality is that I studied my butt off all my entire life about everything under the freaking sun, and I still haven't even scratched the surface of all the knowledge that's possible to acquire in life itself. You know, it's just it's mind-boggling. But there's so many different turns and twists, so many rabbit holes that you can be sucked down. And right now, I'm like going down the biggest, blackest, dark abyss that you can possibly imagine.
Let me submit this. His image. What is the best way to battle us? If let's say you're the demon, or the demons and lizard heads are all, you know, enough said on that. What is the best way? Well, get the people to believe something. So they use the media, and they drill things into our brain that they want to come to pass. Because let me put it this way. If I say, okay, it's going to rain in 5 minutes. And it should rain in 5 minutes. There's a bunch of other people out there saying, no, it ain't going to rain in 5 minutes. So who's stronger? The many. So the main deal of the media, and let's say the Illuminati, let's go that far. The main deal of the Illuminati is to make everybody fear something.
I understand.
That's how they fight us, I think.
I understand, brother.
Yeah,
but
and it is mind control.
I understand, but...
Go ahead.
the whole premises of my deal for here is that I don't give a crap about the Illuminati. I don't give a crap about the doomsday scenarios. I don't give a crap about these people out there that's trying to convince me on a regular basis that there is no God. The harder they try to convince me of anything, the stronger my beliefs become. I'm just dead set in it. I know my views are my views, and my beliefs are my beliefs, but that's it. I'm done with all the doggone conspiracy theory stuff. We know the world's screwed up. We know there's people out there who are deliberately trying to send us away from anything that has to do with knowledge above what we have at our disposal right now. So every time we get even remotely close to any free energy device, somebody out there intervenes enough to discourage or even whack the person that's trying to put it out there. There's something going on. There's definitely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, something going on. And this is my personal view. And if anybody out there don't like it, I'm sorry, you know. I'm not going to offend your atheism by telling you you're stupid because you don't believe that there's a God, because I know that in my particular instance, I'm not even sure that I even exist after all the calculations that I've been doing here in the last freaking month. It's driving me nuts. It's driving me literally freaking nuts. All I want to do is go into my mad science laboratory, televise it clear across the doggone globe, show everybody it is what I see and what I know, and let them take what they want from it. You know, I ain't trying to sell anybody anything. I'm not trying to freaking manipulate nobody. And if it was coming down to financial deal, I'm doing this for the money. Well, if that was the case, then I seriously failed. My Google account, maybe the whole entire year, just breached $1,000, you know. $1,000 doesn't even scratch a penny towards whatever it is that I've been doing with all the things that I got to pay for or whatever, far as internet service and the freaking the websites and all this kind of stuff. This isn't a show to me. This is reality to me. This is something that I am trying desperately, and I've had a lot of help behind the scenes with virtual labs and stuff like that. I am trying to get an open door so that we can pass information back and forth to each other and get one of these so-called free energy devices actually out there in everyone's hands. That is my mission. In the process of trying to do that, somebody's telling me there's freaking aliens. My God isn't my God. There is no God, and the Bible's a lie, and this and that, and everything under the freaking sun. You know, the laws of physics are not written in stone. They are not written in stone, and I will say that and shout that until I'm blue in the face and keel over from a freaking heart attack. The laws of physics are BS, because nobody out there, nobody knows the ultimate of everything, except for God Himself. Whew!
More coffee.
More coffee. More coffee. I've had a quick song, Shaziz, and we'll just have a bit of a quick yak.
Yeah, good idea. Alright, well, I'm going to pick one that just basically sums up what's going on in my brain right about now, if I can find the doggone thing. But,
you've been doing a lot of calculations all week. You've been wearing that brain out, Bubba.
Dude, I haven't slept for I haven't slept for a freaking month.
Borges has had another huge, huge week. We understand.
Man, I know it's in there. There it is, right there. Look, you guys, if you think there isn't a battle going on from your mind, seriously, listen to the lyrics of this freaking song. Because I'm going to guarantee you, there's definitely a battle out there. It may be each and every one of us mind controlling each and every one of us. It may be ourselves mind controlling ourselves, but somebody out there is jacking with our brains. Somebody's jacking my brain, definitely. And I'm not going to stop with my science. If I have to shut off my freaking YouTube and everything until I get enough videos put up there and show everybody exactly what it is or what's what that I got, and disable all the comments and the freaking doggone ratings and all that kind of stuff, then so be it. Because I got to get back to my reality. I got to, I'm cracking up, man.
Thank you.
everybody. We're back. Okay, now that we got that out of our system, you know, thank God I got my friends to keep me grounded. I'm telling you, you know, we're not going down that rabbit hole, and I'm not peeking down into the abyss anymore, so don't expect me to get too crazy, I hope. But either way, yesterday I was working with an idea that I came up with from that pop-pop boat that I was doing. I was literally pumping water out of my bathtub back into my bathtub with heat, just like the same method by which the little putt-putt or pop-pop boat, whatever you want to call it, I was literally pumping water out down towards the floor and back up using two separate deals, one being by the method by which you siphon water and the other by the heat and the pressure that's built up behind there spitting the water out the other side. So, you know, with that said, I believe it's possible to actually build a nifty little device that you could, in worst case scenarios, be able to pump hot water. And, you know, what do you think, man?
I'd like to know exactly what you're up to.
You set it up like those window gardens where you use just the bubbler. And you bring that water way up high. Yeah, you could pump a lot of water in the cistern with a pop-pop boat engine, I think.
Well, what I did was I used an old steam cleaner element. There's a little square steam there's a little square element inside a steam cleaner. And it's used to, you know, heat up the water obviously for your so you can steam clean your carpet. I took a siphon line from the bathtub off down into the steam cleaner and then a return line back onto the deal. Now, once you get this element heated up, it does just basically like percolating coffee. It'll spit the water out the other side. Once you get that water to actually start siphoning off the other side, the drop of the water going down into it actually sends it back up to the other side, back into the same container. So you're pumping the water out of the same container that you started with. But to me, it's pretty impressive. You're actually, you know, water will always find its level. But in this particular case, I'm actually pumping water without a pump. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, sounds sweet.
So
I didn't know they had. That's a new one on me for the, for the steam cleaner. I knew it heated water somewhere, but you know that's just one of the things I never did take apart.
Well, it's a square box. It has an inlet and an outlet on there. It even has a overheat deal. And that's one of the things that kind of caused it not to work as good as I'd want to, because every once in a while it would shut itself off and then have to build up some more heat before it'd start pumping again. So
yeah, the thermal cutoff switch.
Yeah, so it shuts itself off if it gets too hot, but it did siphon the water out and put it back into the tub. And so what I want to do is I want to get a coil of copper tubing, and I want to get like either a rocket stove or some little heating system by which I can get that tubing, you know, coiled up down inside there, but get that tubing really super hot so that it does exactly what the pop-pop boat does, and see that it will actually pump water out and return hot water back to the other side.
You put any valves in? Are there any valves in that system?
No, there's absolutely no valves. All it is just I used a copper tubing because I could bend that to shape to fit over the tub.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
One of the tubings went down underneath the water level, and then the other tubing was hanging above the water, so that you had the drop from the water, which would create a suction from the other side and bring more water up in through, just like the whole siphon effect. Normally, you have to get the siphon down below the water level before you can get it to actually start siphoning. But the difference is, once you heat that up and that steam tries to escape up out of there, when it does, it pushes that water up, which in turn, when the water drops, starts to suction on the opposite side, and you get a return path of the water.
Pretty much like the coffee percolator, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, if you could do this, you could make a combination slash water heater slash, you know, generator if you like, you know, pouring the water down onto the hydro turbine, you know, and as the water's falling, it's turning a little wheel, which is turning the generator. So you get two for the price of one. You get a little bit of electricity and a little hot water to take a bath in. What do you think?
Now, I think Muddy might have been onto something there where he mentioned valves. Maybe I think it's called a check valve. It's like a...
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Water diode.
You just brought Tesla into the discussion here now. Mm-hmm. You said diode, because he had a fluid diode, which could be used for gases as well as for liquids. It's just basically a small hole with two round cul-de-sacs on either side of it. So if the fluid's flowing back into to it in the direction of the cul-de-sacs, anything that doesn't go in the hole hits the cul-de-sacs, rolls around, and creates a resistance on anything new coming in the initial hole.
Can you just elaborate on what a cul-de-sac is? Because I'm pretty sure most of my Aussie counterparts are going to have no idea what you're just explaining.
Cul-de-sac is usually like the end of a road that has a little, instead of it just being like a rectangular end, like you just cut the road off, it's actually got like a bulb at the end, so you can kind of...
In Australia we call that a court.
Yeah.
Right, and turn around and come back out.
Well, in coffee pots there is a little valve in there that holds the water in for, it doesn't go back in the opposite direction, and so it gives the water a lot more longer time to heat up in there before it actually spits it out into your deal there.
Okay. I think those are check valves, though. They kind of rest on top of it, so it's the weight of the thing holding it down that keeps it from coming up through it.
Yeah, it's just...
And then, of course, once the fluid comes out, it creates additional weight that pulls that down so that it can't pop back up and roll back down in there.
It's just a little rubber stopper that has a tapered end on it with a little lip, and so when the steam pressure builds up inside the element... Then it can force its way open and then spit the water out the other side, but it can't come back the other direction. And so,
right,
that's how they're able to get your coffee hot, you know, faster.
Right. Yeah. The trick is that basically when you try to press back into the thing, the harder you press, the tighter the valve closes.
Yeah.
Whereas the other way, the harder you press, the easier it is to open it. So.
And so, with that said. This particular deal that I did, I didn't really necessarily need a check valve. I just needed a little bit more heat on the opposite end because I wasn't worried about the water being sucked back through the other direction because it's not actually, one end's not actually in the water. It's hanging above the water. And the other one is the siphon line that's actually down below the water level itself. And so once you get that process started and that water's dropping down, it goes down into the heating chamber. And then when it hits that heat, it creates the steam pressure, which forces the water back up into the tub again. And then you also have that drop of the water going down to the water back into the tub that creates more suction that draws even more water in.
So you're saying that basically the container where the water is being heated is actually below the opening where the water is coming in from outside the vessel?
Yeah, it's a whole total separate. I took that unit and I set it on the floor below the bathtub and then had a length of hose connected to the copper tubing so that you would get that that drop on both sides. And so whenever the water is being sucked up out of the bathtub, the fall of the water itself creates a pressure in front of it. And then when it hits that hot deal... spits the water back up the other end, and then on the opposite side, as the water is falling, creates a suction, which then assists the water back around and starts to siphon the water out of the tub, down through the element, and then back up into the tub again.
Okay. Right, so one side's got the bubbles of steam, which makes it light and helps pull up and creates a vacuum on the other end as well.
Yeah. So I took...
Well, I'm guessing that your tube that's running in from the liquid, just to be clear on this too, the tube that's coming in from below the water surface is going down into the chamber and going all the way down until it gets into the liquid that's in the chamber too, so that way there's always a draw to pull to siphon that water down into that chamber.
Yeah, one side's falling right, while the other side's sucking. So you're getting forward pressure by the water, and you're getting siphon effect off the other side. So what I was talking about when I first come up with this whole pop boat build off thing was not just to see if we can all make some toys. There, if you take several different things that you already know, such as how actual siphon works, and you take the steam power that you know that the pop boat can do, there's a reason why that boat goes in the water once you get it heated up, because when you have a closed loop tubing, when you heat that up, the water has to go somewhere. And so it's going to go out the path of least resistance out of one of those pipes. And in the process of going out one of those pipes, it's also going to create a suction on the opposite side, which is going to draw it back in into the deal. And that's why the little boat functions the way it does. And so my mind, as it always works, was ticking. And I was saying, well, there ought to be a use for this. So I took the element out of an old steam cleaner and heated the thing up, sucked water out of the bathtub, pushed it back into the bathtub, and there you go.
Sounds sweet.
So I'm
got my little pop boat almost finished.
How's it going?
The cool thing is I built it all during my radio shows.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I made mine out of a Venom can. One of them it looks like a bottle, you know, purple. Got an eyeball on it. The hot spot, or the boiling chamber, I made that sucker out of a Sprite can. It's about 1.5 inches wide. Maybe 1 5/8 inches wide. It gets a little wider up towards the top where the bend is. And I'd say that's right at about 3.5 inches long. And the sides are folded over, so it kind of leaves about one inch area in the middle that's actually active after the epoxy and all. And it flexes pretty good. And instead of getting a pop, I got a weep. So I think it's starting to boil at the bottom where the flame is better, and then it boils up the end and it puts out a long pulse. It works pretty good instead of the water just going poof. It's going poof. And it's pretty sharp. I like the way it runs. It's a little bit lower frequency. And the only problem is after everything is all set up, even my dash and my windshield that I got on it, and even after getting all that set up, it set in there and I didn't quite think it, you know, I need a little bit more room underneath that engine. And angling it up a little bit more would really cause a problem. I didn't have to flatten the bottom to keep it from tipping or anything, because all the weight is at the bottom, and some of it was cut off the top to make the opening at the top, so it stays right side up. And the tubes going back, I made out of a full-length can. I cut a strip out of the middle of it that was about 1.5 inches wide. I took teriyaki sticks. The real thin ones are just a little bit bigger than an eighth inch, not quite 3/16 of an inch. And I rolled the aluminum around it on two ends and brought it close to the middle here where it's only one layer. And I folded the end over to the middle. And the only place it's got glue is where it's actually adhering to the deal. So I've got my full outer surface, and the way these are set up, they kind of look like rudders that keep the boat going straight rather than, you know, drifting and spinning sideways and stuff like that. So it actually came together pretty cool, and I'm enjoying it. The only thing I didn't do, I haven't made a burner for it. The makeshift burner that I got for it right now is just another rolled up piece of aluminum can that I rolled up around another teriyaki stick and then widened it out a little bit. And I stuffed, took some paper towel, I pulled a strip that was about, I'd say about 1/4 inch wide, maybe a little bit more. And then I rolled it, just kind of spun it, and made sure the fibers are going with the length. And I shoved that down inside, till it came out the other end. Then I folded it over and pulled it back through for a bit. And I left a little hanging out the end. So I put the, after I got it in there, now I've got a wick that's kind of bent up. And I take the, my alcohol bottle has a pinhole in it, so I can squirt it, you know, just like a squirt gun, a steady stream by squeezing the bottle. I squirt it right up into the end of that thing, and it fills up. Then I squirt some inside the boat and light the whole thing on fire, since it's all aluminum and it's JB Weld. And I put it down in the tub, and the thing started going pretty cool. Well, I think I like it.
Speaking of fire, my pop boat, it's approximately a couple feet. It's about 2 feet long, about 10 inches wide, and probably 6 inches tall. And it has a specialized motor in there. As I started working on it, I was going to melt some candle wax down in there to seal something up, but I didn't wait long enough for all the resins and stuff that I had in there to cure. And that sucker burst into flames. It was a fire. I had to take it outside and let it finally burn out, and then run it under some water and all that kind of stuff. Well, I've since got it rebuilt, and now it. I took absolutely no pride in putting the body putty on it, and I took absolutely no pride in the paint job. So it looks rough. It's spray painted gold, and it's going to be cool. Sweet. You should see it. But my motor in there. I took an idea from catalytic converters, how they hold heat for quite a while, and I wound up my copper tubing, and then I took a beer can and I cut out the bottom of it and put my coil down inside there, and then I melted about complete rolls of solder down inside there, so that when you heat this thing up, it will stay hot a lot longer, even after the fire goes out. And so I'm still yet to test it in water to see if it will actually move. I've had it sitting there and had it heating up, and it would spit water out, you know, from steam or whatever. And so whether or not I can get this thing to move whenever I'm going to have to use a baby pool, because it's so big that it ain't going to fit in the bathtub.
I hear you. Well, one more point on mine. Is the way I make the tubes coming out, because they got so much surface area, and there's such a thin area for the water to go through, even though there's, you know, pretty ample room actually, but it's all thin. That means it cools that steam off faster. It's going to stay at the temperature of the water, and it just cools that steam off real quick. I think that's the reason why it's doing a pweep, rather than a pop. And
that's,
you know, you got to heat and you got to cool. whatever heat you put in, you got to get out. You got to be able to extract the heat to make the thing run.
Cool.
I think I'm on to something here to make it a bigger and better one.
What's that?
Don't do it itself.
You mean a point?
I'm only getting positive feedback, Tom, so I might as well make you do it a couple more times.
I love you too, bro.
Well, we all love you, buddy.
Down in Australia.
Mine didn't make no... Mine didn't.
Some science to back that up.
Upside down smiley faces a while ago. I said the Australian smiley face. He said, that's fighting words, bro.
Nah, fighting faces, brother.
Mine didn't make no point, point, point sound. Mine only did a crackle sound as it was bursting into flames.
Bursting into flames? You have to catch that stuff on video next time, brother.
Yeah, well, it was unexpected. Beverly was in the middle of her show whenever it happened. And
we all hear this commotion in the background.
Yeah.
It's just his bolting out the door.
I almost burnt my lab down.
Oh, the fun of science, hey?
Yeah, that's why it's mad science, brother. But, Thomas, are you going to board a boat?
Blowing up or catching anything on fire is not a real lab.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, hey, how come you didn't catch that on video? You keep all the good times for yourself.
Well, hopefully when we get...
Burn up a boat, put the camera up first.
Well, we've worded Beverly up now. See, she understands that it would have been good to capture it on film, where she was a little bit unsure whether or not she should have.
Yeah.
So now Beverly understands it. Oh, yeah, get that stuff on film.
Well, hopefully...
Yeah,
even if you cry this week, in a couple of months you won't.
Hopefully once the virtual labs is up and running.
I had a wind turbine that blew down, and the only regret was I didn't get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully once virtual labs is up and running, you'll get to see every single blooper that there is. Like, if you go back and look at the virtual labs intro, you see me falling over the camera on, towards the end there. And
yeah, that was a good one.
Anyway, that's what'll make the show real good there, because I'm always either blowing something up or shocking the living crap out of myself.
Yeah, and on the note of virtual labs, we're getting along quite well with virtual labs. We're at the stage now of building up the portion of the site for the vetting portal, and this is the section of the portal, the section of the site where you come along to basically put your device forward to either the did we lose someone just then? We did.
Nope.
Okay, we lost Stalker. He's just been sitting there on the side, but he'll be back. We're well on our way to doing the vetting portal, the vetting portal is going to be there for you to come along and show us your device and basically get our backing to say, yes, your device definitely works. It is negotiable whether or not, you know, if we're not going to say you must free source your device. Like, obviously, that is our ultimate goal. We would like to see devices free sourced, but if you want to patent it, we will still back you. There's no doubt about that. You know, we can have
back the science.
We can have a contract of non-disclosure and all the rest of it. That we do have a legal team being put together for that. And presently, what we're doing is getting people like Zero Fossil Fuels and Mark Dancy and other well-known people involved to be a part of the vetting service. You know, people who are experienced in debunking. You know, because let's face it, there is a heck of a lot of people out there who want to just play Mr. Magician with free energy devices and prove, you know, try and fake out a device. So we're not going to deal with that. You know, we are going to expect you to come forward before we start making a big song and dance. We're not just going to go, oh, you've got a new, you know, magnet motor generator combination. Wow, you know, it must be real. No. Come into the vetting portal. We're going to have you pull it all apart, show us exactly what's going on, and then, and only then, in the best case scenario, someone's actually going to come out and pay you a visit, and have a look at it firsthand, and then we'll be taken from there on whichever road you choose to take, free source, open source, or patent. You will be fully protected by us in the event you wish to open source or patent. We will, you know, non-disclosure is most certainly an option. But yeah, so
everything that I've got,
that's going on good.
Everything that I've got's going to be open source. It always has been. That little idea that I was talking to you about the whole bathtub thing with the using the pop boat deal. I'd like
looking for free source, is this?
Yeah, whatever. I would like somebody else to actually try it. You know, you could use it just with one solid length of copper tubing, coil it around real good. You know, either use a hot plate to test it out, or build a little rocket stove or something to get a lot of heat in there. And using the idea that I got for my actual pop boat that I'm going to do a video on soon. If you take and put that coil of copper tubing down inside of a canister, like maybe a coffee can or something, and pour in over either lead or like I used solder, but it'd probably be really expensive to use solder because that's takes a lot of solder to fill up that little area.
Yeah.
But either way, the whole idea is that once you get that heat going, that metal, even if it becomes molten at one point, like lead, you know, because lead has a low boiling temperature, but that heat will assist the process of that tubing staying hot long enough to keep that circulation going. You see where I'm coming from?
Yep.
So if somebody out there wants to try that, that would be awesome. I'm going to do one myself. I got to buy me some more copper tubing, and I'm going to actually do a video on it. But I believe this is something that people could use to do a couple things, you know, like if you're out in the middle of Nowheresville, you could turn any tub into a bathtub, you know, get a warm bath out of the deal and burn some firewood at the same time or whatever. You know, you could probably cook on top of the thing while you're doing whatever, you know. Just it's like a, there's all kinds of different ideas out there for survival, you know. If you could heat water up and you know, get you a bath out in the middle of Nowheresville by this process, and not have to have electricity for a pump, just burn a little firewood up underneath this thing.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, no, exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, sometimes you know, we can't be 100% nice to nature. We try to be, but you know, we can always find things that are a little bit more efficient, like say a gasifier, you know.
Yeah,
small handful of wood chips and drive your truck to town.
Yeah, but I think it's a really neat deal. I mean, it all came from that boat, the idea of how that boat actually functions. And so now you're talking about something that's a step up from just a toy. Now you can actually use it for a useful purpose, such as, you know, warming your bath water or something, you know. Maybe you just want to warm the dishwater or whatever, and you're out in the middle of Nowheresville. I think if you left it running long enough, that you'd get that water hot enough to where you could actually purify water. I mean, I kind of think about a liquor still or a water still when I think about how this all functions, you know, because there's a lot of siphon and stuff like that going on in a still.
Quick, everyone, jump in.
Yeah, don't everybody hurt themselves, chip a tooth on the microphone.
Ow.
What's your thoughts, Thomas?
What's that?
What's your thoughts on the whole deal?
Okay, first thing I'm going to say is I think holding the heat on the tube for too long is going to actually hurt performance, because that means that you don't get the action of, you don't get a reaction. You're getting a whole lot of action and no chance for the reaction to occur, so if you heat that up, you get a bunch of gas that forms in there. It stays a gas because it can't go anywhere. And, you know, because it's staying a gas, it doesn't get forced to go anywhere either. So, you know, the pop-pop boat seems like it works mostly because you keep fluctuating the temperature. It gets hot, then it gets cold, then it gets hot, then it gets cold, then it gets hot, then it gets cold. And that causes the fluid to keep, right, it keeps pushing fluid constantly. You know, as soon as it's done pushing, then it does a pull. When it gets done pulling, then it does a push.
There does
and if
seem
you lengthen that out.
There does seem to be a
that heat, the faster you can add heat to it.
There does seem That's to be I a think. Goldilocks zone in there as far as temperature wise, so I understand what you're saying, Thomas.
Right. So, well, I mean, like I said though, I don't think it's so much how much temperature you put into it as it is how fast you can get rid of it. If you can't get rid of it very fast, then you can't really put as much heat into it.
Well, my whole thing, you know, about the putting the metal in there was to hold the heat longer. And so I'll find out if my boat floats, and I know I'm right. If not, then I know I'm well.
I mean, that's, of course, I mean, that's all you can do is test it at the end of the day. You ask my idea on it.
Yeah,
you know, I'm looking at the physics of it, and you know, That's what it's telling me. So, you know, we have to wait and see if maybe there's something that I've missed that, you know, maybe you're right, and maybe you've got something going on there that I didn't see. So,
well, I'm thinking, because I'm going to be using a candle to keep this thing going, then I'm not going to be using as much heat, but I want to be able to retain that heat without having to use as much candle in order to keep it hot. That's the point where I was trying to
right.
come from.
It sounds like you need Maxwell's demon to work for you here.
What's that?
That's the idea that basically there's this little guy inside there that only opens the door to let the heat through. He never opens the door to let the heat back out.
Kind of like a little man in the fridge, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns a lot.
They kind of found that with the TEG technology, the Peltiers.
Yep.
Because you apply electricity to it, it doesn't create heat on the side that's getting hot. What it's doing is it's only allowing the heat that's on the cold side that you're wanting to create a cold side on. It only allows the heat to pass from that side to the other side. So you're not creating heat with it with the electricity. You're just controlling where it's going.
What was that, Mitko?
Like a dial. Like a one-way valve.
Yeah, we kind of touched
on it.
Like a one-way valve, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a thermal diode. It's basically a diode for heat. So
pure semiconductor.
Right. Well, and most of the most efficient ones they have, at least you know for price, are made out of bismuth and what is the other tellurium. It's bismuth and tellurium. So.
Yeah, and that makes it all shoot out and polarize, you said, right?
Actually, bismuth and tellurium are actually very, very similar to... If you look at the periodic table, they're very close to one another.
We're talking side to side or top to bottom? Because, I mean, side to side is a huge difference. Top to bottom, it's almost the same element. So it's just heavy. When you go from top to bottom on the periodic element chart, it just gets heavier. When you go side to side, you actually increase or decrease the amount of electrons that are on the outside of the shell, which changes its polarity. If you have too many electrons, then it's a negative atom. If you have not enough, then it becomes a positive atom. So there's where you get your attractions and your repulsions there, your monopoles of plus and negative.
I thought if they were negative, or if they were positive, they were ions.
No, you can create a negative field by creating an ion, where basically you have several atoms that are basically sharing their electrons, so that they essentially act. One of the atoms is going to act like it's got a full shell because it's getting the electrons from the other atom, and it becomes positive. So, but your net charge is going to be based on the atom that you're working with. And some atoms, when you create a net charge like that, your whole net charge is going to be positive, while others create a positive charge. Carbon is one of those peculiarities, it and silicon both, where it has a neutral net charge. So it doesn't donate to a combination of atoms a positive or a negative effect.
But these thermocouples, these semiconductor thermocouples, they actually create a little bit more heat. I mean, they transfer some, but they do create heat because it uses. Isn't that true?
Right. Because of the resistance. That's from resistance. Yeah, that's from resistance. But I mean, that's not
right.
If you were to build one that were made out of like a superconductor, so that there was zero resistance in there, it would all be about the heat that's on one side traveling to the other side and not being allowed to travel back. So you're not actually creating the heat, you're just controlling where it's going.
So if you just opened the chip up to air without heat sinks, it wouldn't get warm, it wouldn't do anything because it's basically the same temp both sides. As soon as you start moving heat, it's still not
going
to... Well,
no. It doesn't matter if it's the same temperature on both sides. The fact is you have temperature on both sides, and what will happen is one side will start getting colder because the heat is being extracted from that side and being pumped to the other side where it will get warmer. And then the heat has to, if it's got a space to circulate back, it'll automatically circulate back around to try to fill that void it's creating. You kind of look at the heat like water in a glass. You've got two glasses, one's full and the other one's, empty, and you put a little valve on there where it allows the water to run one direction but not the other. Well, if it's set up to where the direction is to the full glass, then you're going to get nothing because there's nothing in the other side. But we're talking about a valve where you've got two half-full glasses where it allows what's in the one side flow to the other until eventually you end up with one glass is totally full and the other one's totally empty. You've drained it.
Right. So constantly, it'll just constantly keep drawing anything that's on that one side until it's gone.
Right, until you hit absolute zero, which of course we know is next to impossible. No one has ever achieved this. We've gotten within 60 billionths of one degree of absolute zero, and at that point everything starts getting kind of wonky and acting, very strange, which I think probably is the primary reason why they're not going to be able to get to absolute zero until they figure out how to accommodate that. I mean, atoms start collapsing in on each other and occupying the same space, which, as you know, according to physics, two solid objects cannot occupy the same same space. Yet here they're completely defying that law. So,
huh? Defying the laws quantum, of physics
in quantum theory. That I think that's possible.
Right.
Well,
I mean, we look at the world with heat completely differently than we would have to look at it without heat. Because in the world with heat, we know theoretically that basically an atom is like, you know, 99.999% vacuum. There's nothing inside there except just a few little particles zipping around saying, this is my space, and it keeps all the other particles out. So it stays empty and void. And when you cool something down where those atoms no longer have the energy to stay out, now you've got a whole bunch of particles that are all going, well, I guess we're just going to go ahead and move on in. And the particles that are there, because they don't have that energy, can't stop them.
But the electrons hold all the motion, pretty much. So when you get down there close to absolute zero, you're slowing down the electrons. Now you don't have a magnetic field, and you probably don't have gravity. There's nothing to say, this is my field.
Right. Well, and you think about it, too. If you turn the power off to two electromagnets that are you know, set to charge to repel away from each other, they stop repelling away from each other. What happens when you flip that power back on full force? Because that's what's going to happen the second you heat that atom, those atoms up again.
Yeah, they'll start expanding instead of occupying the same space.
And the expansion is so violent that the 300 atoms that they were able to bring down to that 60 billionths of 1 degree of absolute zero, the moment they shine something on it to try to get a reading on it using an electron microscope, it caused an explosion that was 600 times more powerful than a plutonium reaction.
Wow.
And completely non-radioactive. There was zero.
So did it blow the scientist up?
There was nobody in the facility. A heartbeat from somebody three levels up would have basically knocked the equipment off and would have made it impossible to even get to that point. But it did crack concrete and snap a rebar and destroy the facility, which is almost like a...
How many atoms did they cool down to that temperature?
They're estimating it was 300. They started out, of course, with a lot more than that, but they were looking at what they extracted off of it.
And that was able to make an explosion.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you had 300 atoms.
Atoms.
They were galliumide atoms, if I remember
correctly. That's like antimatter, antimatter almost. Mm-hmm. Antimatter explosion.
You can consider it that. I mean, essentially, you turned it into a different type of matter. And you flipped it back from being that type of matter back to the matter it was supposed to be by, you know, changing its energy state.
If you look in an electron, it's a particle and a wave at the same time, and a proton the same too. If when they merge into one thing, then maybe it's going to make something between an electron and a proton. Are you getting that?
Well, something. I would say that the theory behind antimatter being so destructive is that you have two elements that are so strongly attracted to each other. The attraction doesn't cause the damage. It's this sudden impact and the explosion that occurs whenever they start ricocheting off of each other. And that's essentially what you had going on there, was you had all of these elements that were not being repelled away from each other, so they were able to get so incredibly close that once they were repelling from each other, the repulsion was so violent that, yeah, it was equivalent of basically the repulsion that would happen after an attraction from matter and antimatter striking each other.
You know, that got me thinking about the Nikola Tesla death ray. He basically used the electrofield to just speed up particles.
Well,
if you made these particles attracted enough to each other, they focus them in a beam, maybe a laser beam, something like that. And you basically charge the whole laser with, let's say, a positive charge, and when everything else on the outside has negative charge, it's going to happen something like that when it hits solid matter. Hello?
Yeah, we're all here. You just got everybody thinking.
Well, I'm
lost.
My main research is in plasma technology, and I know that from everything I've learned from microwaves, that frequencies do some really wild stuff whenever you get the right one in tune. And so, with that said, I still believe that I can make this plasma reactor work.
Yes, I
want
to talk to you about the plasma reactor. Do you want to lower the breakout point of the plasma?
Well,
to break out at the lower voltage?
I'm not understand what it is you're asking me here.
A smaller input voltage for the same
yes.
reaction you're already getting, Shaziz.
Yeah, I do. I do definitely
yep.
want to drop.
You can use radioactive particles. We do that.
Well, I thought about that too, because something's going on, like with plutonium or uranium or whatever. Uranium's just straight out of the dirt. You know, there's some sort of reaction that is occurring that's actually being able to be picked up by a Geiger counter. And so my question was, while that energy's being released, it's got to be doing something there.
You can use alpha particles from americium 240 if you bring
detector.
Them to what?
From the smoke detector.
Yes, if you bring them close enough to the plasma reactor, they may be capable of ionizing the plasma a bit more to lower the breakout point.
Well, I'll have to give that a shot. Because I was watching a video on searched up all kinds of stuff, uranium and the stuff that comes straight out of the ground, and they're saying that it occurs naturally in the world. You can find rocks just about anywhere on the planet that are doing this. And so my thought was, why couldn't I get some sort of voltage out of this with the reaction? But I've seen those little fluorescent bulb starters light up with very little energy, and so I know that plasma reaction can actually occur, like you said, with a lower input. What? Don't nobody chip a tooth on the mic.
Hey, it's out of my field, Bubba.
Yeah, you're melting everyone's brain, Mikko. Too much information for them. See, I told you were a smart mate.
Well, that's why I want to get this doggone virtual labs up and running, because, I can show, via video, but I would rather have it where, we're have a live interaction going on where people can ask questions and this and that, because I know I'm on the right track. Now, regardless of whether anybody wants to believe it or not, I that's neither here nor there. I know what I saw, unless I'm flat out insane, and I never claim to be totally sane. I lit up a little small vacuum tube using a 20,000 kilovolt oil burner igniter. And I was using that small vacuum tube, which is argon filled. It's one of the old TV tubes that, I got thousands of them. Anyway, this little small tube was ignited with the 20,000 kilovolt oil burner igniter going into all my coils. I was using it as a vacuum spark gap. When this thing started to glow, it glowed such a bright purple that you couldn't possibly imagine. I mean, it was that bright. And
is this the one that melted through the glass?
Yeah, it didn't explode the glass. It literally got so hot inside there that it burnt a perfect circle in the side of that doggone vacuum tube. when that happened, the energy that was released from that literally lit up every single fluorescent bulb, every single monitor, anything that had gas in it, any gas-filled bulbs in this lab lit up and stayed lit for an entire 3 minutes.
So like how you have the resident charge in a phosphorus bulb after it turns off, it still glows for a couple of minutes, you know?
Yeah, you can try this out. You can try this out. Go in your room where your TV's at, turn your lights on, leave your lights on for a while, and then shut your lights off and stand there in the dark, and you will literally see the outline shape of your TV screen. That gas inside there is still energized, even though that TV is not on.
Yeah.
It works better if you close your eyes whenever you have the light on and just stand there with the switch in your hand so you don't have to open them while the light's on. That way you don't weaken your eyes' resistance to lower levels of light.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't have to wait for your retina,
your night vision to come back.
But you guys have witnessed this before in your own houses, right? You've turned the lights off and actually seen the TV.
If you have a really bright flashlight, you can do the same thing with the flashlight and leave tracers on it.
Well, so
I'm actually going to try this tomorrow. I have a few vacuum tubes laying around, and I'm building a vacuum tube Tesla coil.
Cool.
I'm actually going to try this with my other Tesla coil, which is powered by a microlumen transformer.
Well, try to get it.
I really want to
try to get the video of that thing, because if it does what I saw, I mean, I would have loved to have video running, because like I said, it's just hearsay now. I tell everybody that it lit my lab up for 3 minutes, and I'm not joking. That's how much energy was released. So if you can get it on film, I mean, that would be spectacular.
Was the voltage of your transformer?
20 kilovolts. I use a Beckett oil burner igniter.
Yes.
It's a 12-volt to 20 kilovolt.
Well, can it be done with a microwave transformer?
I'm sure that you can do it with even the lowest voltage. I'm positive it had something to do with the doggone frequency by which whatever that particular tube was actually designed for. And it made me sick because I dropped the doggone thing in my lab and shattered it. But I had saved that tube for about probably at least a year after it actually happened, because I wanted to try to find another identical one to it. I've got a whole bunch of tubes that I can go through and try. You know, on the bottom of those tubes, there's several different little prongs on there. And so to find the same combination that I had it on that particular deal is going to make the difference of it. But you can understand by when I was talking about, if you turn your light off, you never had your TV on, but you turn your light off and you see that gas inside that TV lit up, then that's a basic example of what it is that I'm talking about. There was that much energy to light up all the fluorescent bulbs and those freaking tubes. So, you know, whether or not it was a radiation burst or whatever, you know, I'm not bald, and I don't think I'm dying.
Just remember how dangerous microwave oven transformers are, Mitko.
Don't worry, make
you wonder just how much life energy you got. Are you going to live longer now?
Yeah, hey, Mona just completely changed his molecular structure.
Well, I will tell you this from experience, and like I said, once again, you can take it however you want and believe it or not believe it, but there have been incidents where I had been in my lab for 3 solid days, never slept, never ate or nothing, jacking around with frequencies. I had hit one specific frequency on my doggone deal. My 5-disc CD changer started going in and out, in and out, in and out, and then finally it jammed, the gears jammed up in it, and that dang thing hasn't worked since, but I still have the CD changer.
That's the end of that one.
Yeah. So, I hit the right frequency that turned the remote unit on that thing and drove it freaking insane. And so I know that these things are possible, and that's why I want Virtual Labs up and running, so that when I'm doing this kind of experiments and showing people what it is I'm doing, they can see everything either blowing up in my lab or, you know, falling apart, whatever, you know. And I got a witness. That's what I want. I want a witness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. None of this, you know, stuff where people were, you know, wondering whether or not you've, manipulated video or anything like that. This will be firsthand. Boom, there it is. That's what happened right there.
And that's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I want, because I've seen enough stuff in my lab. I've had the crap shocked out of me. Had whole hours come up missing. Lost the freaking time. I'm telling you, I want this actually televised. If I could put a camera in every single square inch of this doggone thing to see from every doggone direction while I'm running these frequency experiments, I would do it.
Yep.
I want this thing. I want cameras on this thing whenever I'm not here. I want somebody to be able to at any time of the day or night look inside my lab and see if anything's moving.
That's going to cost you a lot in bandwidth.
Yeah, well, tell you what.
We're all going to have to upgrade our internet connections purely based on virtual labs.
My ultimate goal with the larger lab, my ultimate goal with the larger lab is just that. Eventually, I'm trying to work my way up to where anybody at any given time can look inside that lab and you know, maybe catch me picking my nose or something. Who cares? Just as long as they see the science.
Maybe we're going to have to work towards the virtual labs ISP.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I've seen enough stuff inside my lab to know that plasma is the direction by which I want to go, because, you know, science teaches you the three states of matter. They teach you a solid, a liquid, a gas. The fourth state of matter is what I'm interested in, because the fourth state of matter has some really cool results with it.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I want to go above and beyond. I want to actually take my lab to the extreme and do what they say can't be done and be part of that generation that actually kicks off the whole Star Trek The Next Generation deal, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, one thing I want to do with you when I get up there, Shaz, is I'll be printing out a couple of lots of the 3D printing, that electrostatic motor that we discussed last week.
Yeah,
I'm going to buy a little remote control helicopter so we can fly a couple wire up into the sky, and hopefully we don't get it too high up and break the dielectric strength of the atmosphere and get ourselves a free lightning bolt. But we will attempt to recreate Laser Saber's electrostatic motor and prove concept.
You
want me to go?
Go ahead.
Yes. Actually, if you get the helicopter hanger, you might get a lightning bolt strike you without any storm clouds around it.
Yes, exactly. And this is a huge deal, because at the end of the day, all right, they have lightning rods all over the world, you know, and a lot of people have a misconception about how a lightning rod actually works. A lightning rod does not, and I'll repeat, does not get struck by lightning. What its job is, and I know you boys know this, but this is for our listeners, a lightning rod is actually there to extract the energy out of the atmosphere before it builds up to a point where a lightning bolt can happen. So, if we're extracting this energy and running it directly into ground, my question is, why are we running it directly into ground and not running it into a capacitor bank?
Yep, and I'm a firm believer.
There is free energy right there, alright? And sorry, Mr. Government, I know you just hated what I said, but that's too bad for you. The end of the day, we already have free energy on this Earth, on this planet. We just need to show the world where it is.
And I'm a firm believer. You know, I know there's going to be a lot of people disagree with me, but I'm a firm believer that you can get work from voltage alone. There's no ifs, ands, or buts in my mind.
Well, there's always going to be a small amount of current, no matter how high your voltage. There is always going
to be. You understand what I'm saying?
Even if it's to the point, even if it's to the point where it becomes impossible to measure it, it's there.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
That's right. You can use a huge amount of voltage to do the same job as a small amount of voltage with a huge amount of amps.
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm talking about is, even if it's regardless, it's mincing words. You know, even if you still have some form of current going on there, you know, I don't disagree with that at all. What I'm saying is, most of the appliances out here are made totally inefficient. They draw so much freaking current.
They need amps to run. Yes.
And so,
actually, you can look at one very simple fact as to why they're built so inefficiently, and that goes all the way back.
Give me the money, baby.
Well, no. This is even more important than that. If you go all the way back and you look at the fight that was going on between AC and DC power, which was, that's extremely high voltage, you'll kill somebody with it.
Right.
So they run it at lower voltages and inefficiently in order to keep people protected. You need safety devices if that's an issue.
In order to kill people.
If it's an issue of it being dangerous,
it's
extremely
high frequency. You have the skin effect. You can grab that stuff. Tesla did. You know, he stands there with a million volts in his hands, and he don't care.
What I said though, if it's dangerous,
tell you now, it's not.
don't say is or isn't until we do it. But I'm just saying, if it is, there's no reason whatsoever
I have played with the skin effect myself. I have played with the skin effect myself.
Are you sure you have enough amps?
I can assure you that I know what I'm talking about right now.
You've run a refrigerator off it.
No, I haven't.
Hang on,
this is where you and I are going to come to real blows if you don't listen. The current setup of refrigerators and TVs and all the rest of it are only designed to run off what we have in the form of electricity on this planet right now, okay? We would need to, as we're about to look at, this electrostatic motor, which is designed to run off high frequency, high voltage, okay? Nothing that is already built is designed like this. Okay, so no, you're never going to get a refrigerator as it is currently built to run off that system. Implemented changes.
Did I say that, though? I didn't say
just
that. I'm saying
run a refrigerator off it. That's not comparing.
That's what I'm saying, though. We don't know if what you have will run a refrigerator if we modify it.
Well,
it requires more current that actually, becomes dangerous. If it does, it doesn't matter. We can find a way around it. Right, 110 is dangerous. 110 out of your socket in your house here in the U.S. is dangerous.
50 hertz.
But we have safeties to keep that from becoming dangerous. I mean, that's why the housing is made so that the wires are not directly exposed.
Right.
That's why they tell people.
Still skipping right over the skin effect here, okay? And you're talking about 110 volt at 50 hertz. If you give me 110 volts at 30,000 hertz, I'll grab that.
Well, I get what you're saying, but I'm still saying, though, that if it's dangerous, there is always a workaround. It doesn't matter
exactly
what it's dangerous.
Exactly.
You can find a way to make it useful.
What do you guys call your ground safety switches over there? We're calling earth leakage switches here, and they'll shut off within like 1/15th of a heartbeat.
I don't know what they're called here.
Do you have those even?
I don't know. We've got breakers.
Not a fuse, Mitko. Not a fuse. These will detect the earth leakage running through your body and shut off in the time of 1/15th of a heartbeat. So you don't even really feel it. It's just boom, power goes off.
I don't have that.
You don't have those over there. No.
No. And I'm really mad. I don't have that 5 months from now.
What is the voltage you have over there? Voltage and frequency.
220 and 60 hertz.
Okay, maybe I can send you one. You can put it on your house.
That was then going can, to save.
Then you can stick a knife in a toaster, and you'll be all right.
Yeah, we don't have that anything. Like, you stick a knife in a toaster, you're going to get fried.
Here in Australia, it is illegal not to have one of these on your house.
Any new house that is being built? Earth leakage safety switch. Boom, straight onto the fuse box. No mucking around. And you can literally walk up to your toaster with a metal screwdriver, jam her in there, and everything shuts off in your whole house. Boom. Before you even feel that shot.
Well,
try with a rabbit first. Make sure you got the wiring right.
Well, this goes back to what I said, though, where you can make things safe. It doesn't matter how dangerous it is, unsafe, without any safety measures. What matters is when it's released to the public that you have the safety features built into it. That's all. We find those safety features. We make it more efficient. Okay, let's get a refrigerator that runs off of 1/100th or 1/1000th of the power that it takes to run a standard refrigerator now, and just make it safe so that everybody can basically use it and take advantage of that incredible energy savings.
Yeah.
I believe
if we get it
possible.
Down to that point and we can extract the energy out of the atmosphere, so be it. You know, let's do that then.
You know, I was watching a movie where you can cool down something just by using a certain frequency of sound.
Mm-hmm. If you get a chart of the frequencies, like the spectrum chart, I think it's called, you know, it shows you the light spectrum and what's either side of the light of the frequencies of light. First thing you notice is that absolutely every single thing is a vibration. Everything is a frequency. But when you start getting up into, you know, really, really high frequencies like pictohertz and that, you're starting to get into, you know, the realms of universal construction. What creates the universe, you know? And this is something that Mark Twain is quoted in saying about Tesla's spark gap, is that it rotated at tens of thousands of RPM, yet everyone runs around talking about using the harmonic resonance of the Earth. I honestly don't think that there's any correlation, to be quite honest.
Well, it's all fascinating, and hopefully virtual labs will get all this out there, man. We're getting down to the wire here.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey! That was a good show, then.
Yeah. But,
Well, I'll say how much of the past got taken up about, you know, whatnot.
Yeah, sorry about that, but, you know, it's been building up for a while, so... Just trying to make everybody understand what.
See, now you got nothing for tomorrow, man.
Yes, we do.
Oh, believe me, there's plenty. there's
plenty. I was gonna say, I understand it's a festering, growing wound there that constantly keeps you can squeeze all the pus you want out of it, and it just keeps applying. It keeps putting out more.
Well, I've got
no better analogies, Tom.
I've got in my head.
What's that?
No better analogies.
Hey, guys.
Not really. That's about as accurate as you can get, man.
Hey, guys.
He's original.
I got in my head some space-age technologies. I'm watching this machinery work in my head. I want to put it into physical form. I want to build it. Now, when you take a see my pop boat, it is the... I took no pride in painting it. I took no pride in putting the Bondo on it. It's rough as all get out. Nothing was measured. I just cut it with scissors. And, you know, with the metal shears, and I basically slapped this together with junk. But these machines that are running in my head, I want to get them physically put in there, milled, where they're perfectly balanced, everything. I can see it working. I know that these things work. But until we get virtual labs up and running, until I show something of any kind of significance that people actually believe that this stuff really does work, it does exist, then I'm reduced to using what it is that I've got at my disposal. Junk. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not a machinist. I have a mechanical vision in my head. I can tell you exactly how everything functions. From the time you turn your key till the time you're driving down the road, I can tell you exactly what that doggone machine is doing. I can't calculate it into math. I can't tell you anything about any of the science, the equations that actually goes into it. I can only tell you how this sucker works. Now, if there was a way you could plug in my brain and take all this information out, I would literally give it to you today because I just want it you know, I want it built. So, you know, with that said, Virtual Labs hopefully is going to be that gateway.
I believe it will.
So, anyway, I don't know if Beverly overslept or not. Normally she comes rolling in about now.
Oh, we have to chase her up there.
Yeah, so we got a couple minutes here to wait. But anyway, like I said, guys, I believe this plasma is the way to go as far as my version of what I want my alternative energy device to be. I want to try to get this put together in a fashion by which it's right now. I can literally hear this thing cracking because of all the resin that it's encased in between the expansion and contraction of the heat in this doggone laboratory. This thing has become an expensive pile of junk, and it's really frustrating because I know it works. I know that when I get the other one built the way to the specs it needs to be built to, where it has no vacuum leaks and it actually does exactly what I'm saying. If you go back and look at some of my older videos, you'll see I got these, I keep talking about these bulb starters, these fluorescent bulb starters, or argon-filled tubes. And I'm literally creating plasma in an argon tube that is coming off of, it's not connected to anything. It's connected to an aluminum pyramid that's hanging from a piece of hemp rope from the ceiling. And the only time that there's any kind of ground connection is when I put my fingers on there, and you can actually see the plasma reaction in the air. So with that, and what I said about the whole turning off your lights and seeing your TV, I know that that energy's there. After everything that I've seen, I know that it'll work.
Yeah, and just on the fluorescent bulb starters there, people will want to hold on to any old neon bulb starters that they've got, because they're actually starting to use neon in them these days. I went down and bought some from the shop there a couple of months ago, because you and I were discussing this.
Yeah.
And they growed a nice bright orange.
Yes. So I have one that grows
You need it to glow a purple colour. If it glows a purple colour, you've got the one Shaziz is talking about. If they glow an orange, they're not. They've got neon in them.
All right, guys.
I have both of these.
Yep.
There's go up, look up spectrum tubes. There's all the different colors of all the different spectrums of all the different noble gases. And so, with that said, I'm gonna run a couple minutes over because I'm gonna play a tune on the way up out of here, kind of a mellow out tune. Thanks for my friends keeping me grounded. And so, with that said, stay tuned for the Hope Show after. Take care. Peace.
He's a level.